What's up, everyone? So this is the Ready for Launch podcast, a show where we break down product launches, share our favorites, and explain why they work. I'm Andy McCotter-Bicknell, and I'm here with my co-hosts Tamara Graminski and Jason Oakley. The topic for this episode is best sidecar product launch. And as a reminder, the show is brought to you by our friends over at the Compete Network, powered by Clue. And in total transparency, when this topic was brought up, sidecar product, I had no idea what it was. So Tamara, why don't you explain what that is, number one, and then also number two, why don't you share how it felt being the winner from episode one?
Well, you know, being the winner felt amazing. I hope to be the winner again. So I've been practicing my debate skills in the meantime. So sidecar products are one of my very favorite product strategies, actually. And for me, like, I spend a lot of time in PLG products where you often will see a sidecar product exist. But basically, a sidecar product is a free offering or a very, very low-cost offering that complements a company's core product. Sidecar products help you attract new customers earlier in the journey. So maybe they're not ready to buy your main product yet, but they will be one day. So you can actually build affinity with them before they're ready to buy, which hopefully should help to increase the chance of conversion when they are ready to purchase. And also, I find it's generally a pretty good technique to broaden your addressable market and sometimes build virality depending on how fun your sidecar product might be. So I'm pretty pumped about this. I've been prepping. So Jason, why don't you tell folks at home how they can get involved in voting for the winner of today's episode?
Sure. So every episode, what we want to allow, yes, we will all vote on which one we think is the winner, but we want you all to get involved too. And so the way this is going to work is the person who won the last episode, on the day that we launch today's episode, that person is going to, so in this case, it's Tamara. She is going to have a poll, LinkedIn poll that she'll post. So as you're watching this, go to Tamara's LinkedIn, look for the poll, and you'll have a chance to vote on who you think the winner is. And that's pretty much it. That's how you do it. Right, guys?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I had a good time researching this one. It was really interesting to kind of dive down the rabbit hole again, because I wasn't familiar of like sidecar product as like a phrase or like as a strategy. It was really fun to just kind of dive deep into what a bunch of companies had done. Used a lot of your newsletter, Jason, for different examples, because you called out quite a few in the past. And so it's good to have a little bit of a swipe file to take a look at some. So I'm excited to talk about it.
I have one in the back of my mind as soon as we had announced the topic, but I did go to LinkedIn and I asked, you know, the LinkedIn followers what sidecar products they would recommend, because I wanted to get some ideas, right? Maybe there was something I wasn't thinking of. And I think maybe, Andy, the one that you're going to talk about today might have also been mentioned. So maybe you already have a leg up on the LinkedIn audience loving your product.
It was. It's all part of my strategy. It's all part of my strategy. You know, I'm just trying to dethrone you tomorrow.
Okay. So Grayson, who gets to go first this week? So Jason got to go first last week. I got to go in the middle. Maybe it's like the middle spot is the one who gets to be the winner. Tell us who's up first.
Well, it's crazy. But with the randomizer never fails to amaze me. I put them in and I pressed randomize and drum roll, please.
As if you want a randomizer. What else are you pressing on?
A description of a randomizer. Number one, first to present, is the winner of last week.
Tomorrow.
Yay. Pressure's on.
Okay. Right. So I'll put the first best spot or not, but it's okay. Okay, so the sidecar product that I chose that I think was the best is the Leap by Thinkific. Now, this is going to be controversial, actually, because Thinkific is a platform for creators to build digital products. So think of things like courses and communities. And they're actually what I would say is maybe the number one competitor to Kajabi, which was where I worked last. But I can recognize good work when it's done. And so I have chosen them as the winner for me of this category. So in October of 2023, they launched a sidecar product called The Leap, as I mentioned. And The Leap is an AI-powered tool that helps creators build mobile-first digital products. And it's free, as we mentioned about the definition of sidecar. So you can think like smaller products here, like mini courses, guides, quizzes, not like those full 4 hour long courses that you might create in Thinkific. Now, the reason I love this is I know from my experience in the creator economy that the main barrier between people who dream about being a creator and those who actually become creators is getting that first product built. And the Leap aims to solve that. And I just know because I've seen so much data and read so many reports that most people who sign up for these types of tools never make a single thing. But if you can get a creator to build a product, then as soon as they start to see money, it almost becomes a bit addictive and they start to really feel motivated. And they almost always go on to build real successful businesses. So I totally understand the business strategy here. And I think it's so clever. I wish I had thought of it when I was working at Kajabi, to be honest. So here's a couple of reasons why I think it should win. The first one is it's been years in the making. So I need to set the stage a little bit context-wise. In 2022, they launched a media property. Thinkific launched a media property called The Leap. They launched it on TikTok, and it was a way for them to reach more creators earlier in the journey. The Leap itself, the media property, grew to be incredibly successful. They had over 150,000 visits a month to the website, 50,000 newsletter subscribers, and millions of video views on social, both Instagram and TikTok. And in interviews, Thinkific actually says that interacting with that audience on social is actually what gave them the insight they needed to think about how they should have a completely different approach to help creators who are earlier in the monetization journey. So love that already, that they're like learning from their audience. What I think was clever is they started to seed the idea of a product with their audience. Because you think most of this audience are just here for like entertainment or education. They haven't thought about buying a product from The Leap yet. So they actually introduced a waitlist many months before launch. More months than I probably would think to do, but I think it's because they wanted to really seed this concept of like, we're not just an entertainment site. We are now going to be helping you solve the problems that we've been helping you solve through content with an actual product. So by the time they launched on TikTok, Product Hunt, and email, customer email. They got top three products of the day on Product Hunt. And in just 1 month, they surpassed 6,500 users and more than 5,000 digital products created. I think that ratio is pretty good between digital products and the number of users. That's almost one for every user. And by December, which was like less than a month after launch, they'd already passed 10,000 users. And if we just think about the numbers, if we just take the number of newsletter subscribers they had, and then we take the number of users they got, that's almost a 20% conversion rate between newsletter audience to user of the product. If I had a conversion rate like that, I would be very happy. So I think very clever multi-year strategy here. And they were definitely one of the B2B companies ahead of the trend on building like a media arm. So that's number one. Number two, what I love about the product and the strategy in general is it's not just a free limited version of their tool or a limited version of one part of the tool. It's actually an entirely different use case. And they prove the use case out through their launch channels. So The Leap is built for mobile learning, which is obviously so important today and was not as important when Thinkific was created over a decade ago. And you actually can't build mobile first courses in Thinkific or Kajabi or any of the other products out there. So it's a very specific new use case. Competitors don't have it. It's also all focused on this concept of bite-sized learning. Made for social media audiences, which makes sense. Mobile, social, the two go hand in hand. So when I started digging into the campaign itself, because I already knew I loved the product, I knew about the history because I have been following it for a while. Started digging into it because I wanted to look at the campaign. Okay, what's the launch campaign itself like? I couldn't find anything on LinkedIn, and I actually almost backtracked because I was like, maybe they actually didn't do a good job marketing it. But then I realized I was looking in the wrong area and they launched The Leap on TikTok. So I was like, they must have launched the product on TikTok as well. Now, as an elder millennial, as I'll call myself, without giving away my age, I have never downloaded TikTok before. So Thinkific made me download TikTok. I followed their account and they had so many videos and you could really see how this came to life. Tons of the creators who use The Leap actually posted videos as well. And it just was so clear that like the product was built for social and they were marketing it on social, which I love. And then to take that concept one step further, like, okay, great, I'm building something that's completely different than Thinkific. How do we get them to buy the main product eventually? The whole slogan of the campaign was dream big, start small. So they're planting the seed that, like, one day you're going to be a multi-million dollar creator. You're going to have multiple revenue streams with Thinkific. But today, you're going to do this one small step that's going to get you there. And we're going to link to the video. They launched it on TikTok, but it's this amazing video about going to the moon, but how actually there's one step to get there. So we're going to link that for you so you can watch it. I'm almost out of time, but I need to get to my final point because this one's just for Jason. So you go to the landing,
I'm there.
To sign up for the product. And what do they have first? An interactive demo. Have you seen an interactive demo for a free product before? Like, I think that's pretty rare. And it's like, you can sign up for free for the product with one click of a button. But Thinkific is so smart. They're like, no, we want to show you the product before you even do that. And product is so unique. When you look at the interactive demo, it's fun. You want to do it immediately. And you can clearly see that it's different than any other product, which makes me then go and hit sign up for free. 0 seconds left, but how did I do, guys?
Wow. That was
so cool. Yeah, this is sick. The interactive demo, I'm like geeking out over this. So
I knew you would.
It is really, so it's showing you like their editor, basically. So this is a tool where you get to come in and you can build a course, like your own course on a but it's mobile only.
Exactly. So you could build a course, but think more like mini course or build quizzes or tutorials. Have a really cool thing where it's an AMA. So it's like you can have someone say, pay $10 and then ask me any question and I'll get back to you. So it's actually very creative digital products as well that are mobile first.
This is awesome. It's so smart.
I think a lot of people they don't know like really how hard it is to come up with a course and to actually ship it. I mean, me, Jason, Tamara, we worked really hard on our course, Ready for Launch, a few months back. It took a ton of prep time, research, and then actually organizing all of the content. It takes a long time. And I had done one like myself, even a couple years earlier, and it's just a lot of work, upfront work. And so to be able to like put something together in like a miniature, like first step way, I think is super, super helpful. As a product. And so I definitely think that this is a great like use of like a sidecar product launch for sure.
Yeah, this is awesome. And the thing I like about, you made the point, Tamara, that interactive demos are, you don't see a lot on a free product. I'm starting to see more of it because it basically, even with a free product, a lot of times it's still a lot of work for someone to be like, oh, I got to sign up. I got to give you my email. I got to create this account. And a lot of times too, it's like, they don't really get to see it unless they've got a course in mind and they got something to get started with right away. So in this case, an interactive demo is great because you get people to see how easy it is without having to put in any effort. It's like right there for them and they can see how easy it is. And then, especially with something like this, because this is, like you said, it's like, I'd never seen anything like this. It's really cool.
The other point I'll add, since I have a few more seconds now, is once you have a product created, the second hardest part of being a creator is actually getting in front of your audience and getting someone to buy, as we all know, as marketers ourselves. And what I like about this tool is that like if you've been building an audience, most likely you've been building your audience on social. And so it's just so thoughtful about how you would even distribute the product once you create it, that it just made total sense to me. Like I could see if I was a creator who'd never done this before, I could go in one sitting, I could build something, put it onto a channel that I've already been nurturing and building and start to get immediate feedback. And I think that would be very motivating for someone. And then if they wanted to, you know, take the plunge and say, oh, I actually had a longer course in mind, like I could see the distance between signing up for The Leap and signing up for Thinkific actually being quite short for some creators.
Yeah. The way things are going these days, I can almost see The Leap being its own a super successful standalone product.
Might be. Don't know. Okay, so Grayson, who's up next on the randomizer?
Wow. Well, it's very interesting, actually, considering what?
How could it be?
Randomizer is
there's always a commentary before you press the button.
I'm really trying to make this an interesting part of the show.
Listen, buddy.
Just press the button and tell me who's next. All right.
It's my 15 seconds of fame. I gotta make the most of it.
Damn, groupie Grayson, it's 15 seconds.
Well, I'm very excited to announce that the second presenter is Mr. Andy McCotter-Bignall.
All right,
he's up.
We're going.
The sabotager himself.
Sabotager, here we go, baby. This is my time. Get ready.
Okay, 7 minutes on the clock. We're queuing it up.
3, 2, 1.
All right, so my pick is going to be Senja's Mind My Review tool. So Senja is the, I guess, parent company, S-E-N-J-A. And then they are a platform that essentially helps you collect, manage, share your testimonials. And, you know, as product marketers, testimonials, reviews, case studies, all that stuff is very important. We all know that. And Senja offers a pretty straightforward platform to help you manage all that kind of stuff. So a few months back, they launched a sidecar product called Mine My Reviews. Mine meaning like mining for coal, you know, like that kind of whole thing. So it really helps you analyze your testimonials for free in bulk. And you can like pull out strengths, weaknesses, and problems that maybe your product solves. So like in practice, you know, I'll actually, let me explain how I tried this out. Okay. Cause I think this is an important angle here. I thought it was really interesting, like as a user first. And then this came up like in a LinkedIn comment on tomorrow's post. And I was like, oh yeah, like that's a great idea. And so I dug a little bit deeper into it, but I came into it like as a user first. And so my experience was, you know, and I'm going to use my former employer, ClickUp, as an example. If you don't know, ClickUp is a project management tool. And I took their G2 profile and pasted it into Senja's Mind My Reviews tool. And G2, for those that don't know, it's a pretty large software review platform. It took about 30 seconds, pasted that link in there. And then I got a message that said, we analyzed 11,244 words in 100 G2 reviews and uncovered why your customers love you, their pain points, and what you can improve. And, you know, just as an FYI, right, I chose ClickUp for this example, not to like shill my former employer, but mostly so that I could test out the quality of the analysis that this tool could actually spit out. And overall, I would say it was like 90% accurate, or like in line with what I would expect, which is important with a lot of these like AI generated things. So for example, it said that some of the top reasons people love ClickUp is the docs feature, ease of use, how it can help manage projects, pain points to leading to using ClickUp would be like struggling to track deliverables on a timeline, customization, collaboration, and then where they can improve is their instant messaging tool, their platform performance, and doc integrations. So again, all this info was for free and it took like 3 minutes. And I literally just had to like copy and paste a link.
Did you have to sign up to get the results, or was
no,
it like...
No. It was just like you literally just plug a little link in there. And so cool. It was super easy and like no gating or anything like that. I thought it was really solid. And again, for background, right, as a product marketer, as a competitive intel practitioner, I've spent a ton of time like in like one sitting, just like looking through a bunch of reviews, trying to pull out like trends, patterns, that kind of a thing. And so the value was just automatically there for a product marketer. But then at the very bottom of the page, if you go to the very bottom, it'll say, how about you spy on a competitor instead? Paste in a URL of a competitor's review page and we'll analyze their reviews for you.
That's smart. Missed that when I was there. That's genius.
That's a great way to get like a loop going in, right?
Exactly. And so that's exactly what I did. So I, you know, I'm a competitive intel practitioner primarily. And so that spoke directly to me. I went up and I like pasted a bunch of like our competitors, our reviews. And overall, it was just like a really solid experience. And, you know, again, this is like tangential to their main offering, which helps you gather and manage reviews. And that's the last reason that I want to talk about why I think this is great. Again, this is a personal background of my experience with these types of tools. So I have used a Senja competitor for the past couple of years. I heard of this competitor first. They were like the first in my mind about this kind of use case. I've had a great experience with them. I've had no real like reason to switch to Senja. However, having this great free experience with Senja as a sidecar product has really given them like a ton of kudos in my mind. It's not enough to switch, but like, you know, things happen all the time, right? Like we're put in new situations, new jobs. You know, some companies like they go out of business, they increase price to where it's like too much. And so having that like mental real estate in just like a broader audience, especially if you weren't the first, you know, product to market in a specific area, that's a really valuable place to be. And I think people like usually just kind of like discard that and, you know, they don't want to be second place like ever. But, you know, I can't think of any other like review tool in this space other than Senja and the one that I'm currently using. And so just again, like, I think that that whole process of like giving and like depositing into like the greater, you know, audience that you're trying to sell into, I think it's a great like tactic. And I think it does pay off. If it doesn't pay off like immediately with like an immediate purchase or whatever, it could definitely pay off in a year or a couple years when, again, people are going through new situations in their life. So that was that's my pick. Last thing I'll mention is that it got product of the day on Product Hunt when they launched.
Nice.
And, you know, I know we love a good Product Hunt ranking on this podcast. And I'll just say that I think Tamara's choice was only number three product of the day. I'll put that one there. And that's going to be how I end my spiel.
Shots fired.
Love that. Yeah, the thing I liked about the Mind My Reviews is that it is such a great onboarding. It's just a great onboarding to their platform too. So like one of the things you got to do when you get a platform like Senja or any of these is you got to get your testimonials in there. And a lot of times what one of the hurdles are is if companies don't have testimonials or, you know what I mean? And so if it sits empty for a while, it's easy to abandon it. And when you use that tool, it's basically capturing all your GTO reviews. And then if you sign up from there, it just puts them all into Senja. And so then you got a bunch of reviews in there to start with. So it's like a really cool onboarding tool too.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, you're right. It like starts you out. It's like, it's like an onboarding before you pay kind of a thing.
My favorite viral growth loop there. Like, well, maybe growth loop is the wrong word, but almost the growth loop as an individual. Cause I could see, like, I've been competitive as a product marketer as well. You go in, I couldn't see myself using Mind My Reviews every week, for example, right? Because I mind my reviews, I have a general lay of the land. But the idea of like come back and salute your competitors is so clever because we always have so many different competitors, whether they're direct or indirect, or maybe product specific. And so I can see myself on a fairly regular basis using that tool for competitive analysis rather than, you know, internal law of the land. And that's just going to keep it constantly top of mind, which, as Andy mentioned, is like the whole point of this, to build affinity, to give you that early value. So I think that's very clever of that.
And luckily too, the person who cares about competitive intelligence a lot of times is the person who's also managing like social proof and customer marketing and stuff like that. They're like, they're very close together if it's product marketing, for example. So like at some point they'll need the main Senja product, but for now, if they use it as like a tool to help competitive intel, then that's great.
Yeah. It's interesting that you mentioned that like loop, Tamara, because, you know, with competitive intel, usually, especially like as we're like referring to it, like in terms of like customer reviews and trying to analyze like how, like what people are saying about other tools, it really depends on like the category that a company is competing in, like how popular it is. And so, for example, in sales intelligence, which is Apollo, the company that I work for, crazy busy, people are investing a ton of money into review platforms like G2, and so you'll have, you know, a handful of reviews 1 month, and then, you know, in 3 months there'll be like another 1,000 reviews for an individual company or different like competitors. And so there's just always going to be like new information that's coming in. And one thing I noticed about this Mind My Reviews tool is and I don't know if it changes if you become a Senja customer, but for free they do it, they limit it to 100 reviews that they'll analyze. And so I think it must be just like the most recent ones. And so it does kind of incentivize you to come back or something like that to see like what's changed.
That's a good packaging strategy too. So I'm assuming if you buy Senja the product that you would get unlimited mining of reviews.
Yeah, I don't know that for a fact, but it Yeah, sure. I think ideally that would be the way. Yeah.
I know, like, they have an integration with G2. So I think it's more of a, you know, every time someone leaves a G2 review, you want that as a review you could use in all your Senjo widgets. So it's kind of like, I think their main thing, I think, is wanting to get people in using the Senjo platform. And my reviews is, yeah, it's just a great, like, onboarding pass for people. Like, on-ramp. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that is Senja Mind My Reviews. Let's go to the next person. Grayson, you ready? Ready for your time in the spotlight?
Grand reveal?
The grand reveal of the last person.
Yeah. Let's get the randomizer with just Jason's name on it. Here we go.
So I'm very excited. I looked at the...
Everything's so exciting.
Drum roll, please.
I believe it is Jason. Jason.
All right. Cool.
Okay, I will get the timer. 7 minutes. Jason, are you ready?
I'm ready.
3, 2, 1.
Okay. My sidecar product launch is the meeting cost calculator, and it was launched by a company called Fellow. And so Fellow talks about them, like, calls themselves an all-in-one meeting transcription management software for remote and hybrid teams. Their goal is to help companies have fewer and more effective meetings. So they help with, like, automatic transcription and note taking. They help with, like, the prep of meetings, but also just the general, like, how as a company do you operationalize more effective meetings within your company? Because we all know meetings can be a big, like, cost center and a big waste of time. So let's go back to July 2023, and Shopify at the time, and Grayson, you can maybe toss up on the screen like a shot of, I think there's probably, like, there's a bunch of articles. It went viral. Shopify actually introduced their own, they built their own meeting cost calculator in the company. So they basically went out and said, hey, we're now calculating the cost of every meeting. And so based on who was in the meeting, their salary, and how much time the meeting was, they were able to say how much it was costing them. And so it really brought a lot of attention to, like, how much money meetings are costing us so that they can focus on making them more effective and have less. Like, Shopify also, they instituted, like, company-wide things like no meeting days and stuff like that. They were really kind of, like, on the leading edge of that sort of thinking. And at the time, they were actually a Fellow customer. So Fellow saw what they were doing. They also saw how essentially, like, how much of this was coming a trend. So they saw search volume for meeting cost calculators start to increase a lot. So it was starting to become, you know, what Shopify did essentially went viral, but then this also just started to pick up steam. It started to become a trend of people wanting to calculate the cost of meetings. So along with this, Fellow went to Shopify and they were like, this is awesome. Can we build this into our product? And so in working with Shopify, they were actually able to build in this meeting cost calculator functionality, but it wasn't a standalone thing. They actually had it as part of 8 what they called guidelines. So the meeting guidelines are a group of capabilities within the Fellow app that are all about how to operationalize and set guardrails around how your company does meetings. So Fellow wanted, like, one of their goals is to move up market and to make up their platform targeted at, like, larger enterprises, like Shopify's of the world and stuff like that. And those are the types of companies that have, it's really hard for them to enforce, like, guidelines around how to run meetings, how to handle meetings and things like that. And they can be a huge waste of money and time. And so there are 8 different guidelines, and these are, like, features within the Fellow app. And this is something that you can, you know, essentially, like, pay for a tier within Fellow that has this. So it's like a packaging thing. But what they decided to do was to take one of those 8 features and make it a sidecar product. And so they took the meeting cost calculator and they made that essentially a free Chrome extension. So they launched it on Product Hunt, and essentially you could get the Chrome extension for free and you could use the meeting cost calculator. And then that was essentially an on-ramp into their platform. So it was a great way to bring freemium users, like a PLG approach, to bring people into the platform. But then when you were in there, you would see that it's part of this, like, broader suite, this broader collection of these 8 meeting guidelines. And so I like this for 4 different reasons. Like, I love this launch for 4 reasons. One is that this sidecar product was part of, it was basically capitalizing on a trend, on, like, a very noteworthy, newsworthy thing that's happening in the market. Shopify, a very well-known company. A lot of people follow what Shopify is doing. And this whole meeting cost calculator thing kind of blew up. And at that point in time, it was very hot trend. And so they were trying to capitalize on the popularity of this meeting cost calculator and how people were like, this is cool. I would love to be able to do this. They built a way for people to do it. The other is that they were able to make it and kind of use it as an on-ramp to a broader kind of suite of capabilities within the platform. So the 8 meeting guidelines, it was a way to introduce you to one of those and the whole concept of setting guidelines around how your company does meetings. So it was really in line with, yes, it was a free product. People could get value out of it on their own, but it also introduced them to this like, hey, here's how we see the world. Here's how companies should do meetings. And this is one of the 8. If you want the other 8, then you got to pay for it, sort of thing. The other thing is it allowed them to move up market because it's only really large enterprises that need these types of guidelines. Small startups, it's like easier to enforce these things. It's easier to say we have a no meeting Wednesday. But if you're Shopify, that's a lot harder. And for larger enterprises, it's like this type of functionality is really important. And so starting to introduce this starts to make their platform more for these types of companies. And then the last one, and this is a really interesting one, and everyone can kind of relate to this, especially when markets, there's a downturn, times are tough, it's hard to sell when your product is considered to be a nice to have. And in a case where a product like, say, Fello might be seen as, yeah, it's great for like helping us do automated notes and help prepare for meetings and things like that. If it's not seen as a must have, then it's hard to like make a case for bringing this into an enterprise and having like seats to pay for seats for everyone and all that. But if people start using the meeting cost calculator, they will quickly start to see how much they're spending and investing in meetings. And then when it comes time to consider, oh, should we start to pay for this platform? You've got all this business case already built because you know by using that how much you're spending on meetings. So for all those reasons, I really loved like the strategy around this launch. They launched it on Product Hunt. I don't think it didn't get product of the day. It did well on Product Hunt, and they've tried.
Not number one. It's not number three.
But it's those 4 things that I love the most about this. It's just the strategy, how it worked with their positioning, and those 4 reasons. So I'll leave it at that. That's mine.
We need to have. I want there to be like a question after everyone's spiel. But did it rank on Product Hunt? That's going to be the next.
It needs to be a Product Hunt launch.
Yeah. Podcast is sponsored by Product Hunt.
Listen, all jokes aside, this is an awesome, I think there's a couple of things that I love about this. Number one, just that like how it seemed like they were number one, keeping their ear to the ground on like what's happening, what people are interested in. And it's a great, use of like trends, right? So following trends, you know, you kind of hear about like some companies doing it really bad. I would say most companies don't follow trends particularly well. But I remember when I was on Twitter and like this whole like meeting cost thing was like just blowing up, that you heard about it on like Shopify. And then I remember seeing like some like mock-ups of like companies that were like joking about like how much a meeting would cost at, you know, at some of these bigger companies. And I think it's awesome that like someone actually went out and built something and like tried to use that trend to like fuel the launch strategy. Like if something's already being talked about, then like, yeah, just like put something together and like try to use that as fuel. Like that way you don't have to just kind of start from scratch. And so I loved that. And the second thing that I loved is like, you know, let's be honest, like this is just like an ROI calculator, which is pretty common. You know what I mean? Like out in like the business world, you see these on other companies' websites, and this is not a diss. It's just like, you know, this is something that you see like frequently, but they've done a great job of like rebranding it, repackaging it as something that is very specific to like what they offer. Like this isn't like an ROI calculator. This is a meeting cost calculator. And it's like made it, it's like reinvigorated kind of like that idea, and they've like owned it. And so I think that, yeah, this is a great example for sure, Jason.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, the one thing that about trends, though, like, yes, so many people want to act on trends, but it's actually harder than it sounds. I mean, I think it's pretty easy, or easier, I should say, to build a launch campaign or a campaign or a go-to-market around a trend. But to build a whole product around a trend is hard, even to integrate a trend into your product is hard. And that's why I love sidecar products so much, because they're such an awesome opportunity to take something that is happening right now, be scrappy about it. Sometimes it's built on a whole other code base most of the time. Sometimes you even can take some very specific engineering resources and put it towards that. It's almost like a little mini incubator within your business sometimes, right? And so what other product can you think of that you could actually take a trend? And then I don't know how long it came out after the trend started, Jason, but I'm assuming weeks, maybe months max, you actually get the trend live in your product. That's the power of sidecar, right? And so I love that part of this.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole trend piece I thought was interesting about this one, because a lot of times people will think like, you know, we'll build a sidecar product and it'll be something that's valuable and it'll be something that's interesting. And there's a lot of like I always think about the original one, which was like a HubSpot Sidekick, I think it was called. And that was like one of the first time I'd ever heard of like something like that, and it was valuable and it wasn't necessarily taking advantage of like a trend. And I think when it is a sidecar product, if you can execute on it fast enough, it is just another cool opportunity for when you could build one, where it's like, hey, we're not going to like build a feature into our product just that's taking advantage of a trend. It's almost like the better place to do it would be as its own kind of standalone sidecar product, because then someday if that goes away and if no one really cares about that, it's not like you have this part of your product that is no longer relevant, or it's like you built it, but now it was like a flash in the pan sort of thing. A sidecar product is almost like you said, a cool incubator to like try something, and then maybe you'll build it into the broader product to sell.
It's a great way of mitigating risk and really testing like product market fit with certain concepts totally before you overinvest in your main product.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's summarize the arguments before we get to voting. So we started with me, and I am presenting The Leap by Thinkific. And then we went to Jason, and he did The Meeting Calculator by Fellow. I already have the sound of horror, you guys. Sorry.
I know.
Well, Andy was sabotaging me earlier, so I have conveniently forgotten what he did. No, and then Andy did Mind My Review by Senja. So three cool companies with three cool sidecar products, all very different, actually. And so voting's going to happen two ways. First, if you, the audience, want to vote before you're biased by us, head over to my LinkedIn profile, because I was the winner last week. So I've posted a poll and I want to know who you think is the winner of this week's episode. Now we are going to vote. So I'm going to count down 3, 2, 1, and then we're each going to say the name of who we think is the winner. And a reminder, you can't vote for yourself, Andy.
Oh, yeah. Okay, thanks.
Okay, are we ready? Are we ready? Everyone knows?
Yes. Ready, yeah. Right. And I'm sorry, reminder, we're saying the parent company, not the sidecar.
I don't know. I think we'll figure it out.
Yeah, just say the sidecar.
All right, let's do that.
I don't think the name of this. Okay, sir, sidecar.
It's called The Meeting Cost Calculator.
I'm not voting for that one.
Okay, let's just get the voting over with, you guys.
Here we go. Do the big countdown.
Three,
here we go.
3, 2, 1.
Meeting cost calculator.
What did you say? Is that a three-way tie?
How could it be a three-way tie?
What did you say? Tie?
Meeting cost calculator.
I did too. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, good job, Jason.
Yeah.
Hey. Well done, Jason. Good job.
Woo.
How does it feel?
It feels great. I just want to say thanks. Yeah, that was great. That was a tough one. I thought I was going to lose to The Leap. I'm going to be honest.
Well, listen, here's the one thing that I will say that I think is that made yours unique, Jason. Both Tamara's and I, which I don't think this is a bad approach, but both Tamara's and I were a like AI, like specific like products. They leverage like some kind of summarization. They leverage some kind of like way to like give you something that would normally take a lot to put together, like a good starting place. And it seemed like the meeting cost calculator, it was something that they just straight up built. You know, they didn't like rely too much on any sort of like secondary like AI, like ChatGPT kind of like plugin. And so I thought that was pretty cool. And the fact that they were able to put it together again, like
like relatively quickly to see some attention from the trend. I think that's pretty admirable.
Yeah, I liked the little speed from trend. I thought that was really smart. I also liked the thoughtfulness of it, because I think sometimes people act on trends and it's gimmicky, right? And that did not feel the case here. I love how you talked about, Jason, that it fit in with these values or these approaches to meetings in general. And so you can tell that the team thought about it, thought really intentionally about what to build, and connected it back to the main product, which kind of won that over for me.
Yeah, they did a, this one I had some help. I was chatting with Manuela, who's their VP of marketing, and she kind of shared some of those things with me. So I had some help, but yeah, you could tell it was a lot, there was a lot more thought behind it than what people might think when you see it on product, right? And you just see it as a Chrome extension. And it's cool to kind of see the strategy behind these things. That's why this is cool, kind of breaking down these examples.
Honestly, all of these, there have been three products that have been mentioned, not just in this episode, but the previous episode, where I'm like, oh, I kind of want to like look at that a little bit more. I love when we do like startup-y type stuff, you know, that we haven't really heard of that much.
Totally. And as much as we want the audience that's listening to vote, I also love, like, if you're a product marketer and you work at any of these companies and you think we've absolutely lost the plot or you have something fun to add, like, I would also love for you to join the conversation, because again, like, a lot of this is just our own perspectives, our own assumptions. And so if there's details we're missing or fun facts that we could share, that would also be awesome to be able to surface to the audience. And I think the best way to do that is probably to comment on the poll or one of our LinkedIn profiles, and then we can definitely surface that to the rest of the audience. So if you haven't voted yet, go to my LinkedIn, vote on the poll. I mean, ideally you vote for me so that I can get my
retain something.
Exactly. I get the audience vote, right? Because we have like post vote, audience vote. We talked about that before. And thank you everyone for tuning in this episode. What do we have coming up next, Jason?
Ooh, next episode, we're talking about the most controversial launch of 2023, which is going to be, that's going to be an interesting one. That one's very much opinionated. but that's going to be cool. And I think it's worth saying too, that if anyone ever has an example that they want to share with us, just ping one of us for now. We'll eventually get email addresses or a website or something. But for now, just hit us up on LinkedIn and let us know. And also, if you have a topic idea, I think that would be cool too. Let us know that. Because it'd be fun to, eventually we're going to run out of topics. So it's going to be helpful. But anyways, thanks so much, everyone, for watching episode number 2. Grayson, Andy, Tamara, thanks. And we'll see you on the next one.
I think that's the pod.
All right. Bye.